Who can you really trust? What's really true? Are there clear and credible answers to life's biggest questions? So many of the institutions that we used to put our faith in are being shaken. Some people might even want to ask, what is truth? All of us have those moments when the noise of life quiets down enough so that we start to think about what we're here for. And I found that there is truth, truth that I can know, and truth that doesn't change over time, that I can totally put my trust in. Easter gives us a clue about the answers to the questions that we have asked.
Fairy, be Won't you stand with us? Come on. We're going to celebrate and have fun today. We thank you, God, that your strength is real and it's here today. If you know it, sing it with me.
When darkness rises all around us, we will see his glory breaking through the night.
Come on now. The same power that raised him up is the power that lives in us. Do you believe it this morning? Happy Resurrection Sunday. Welcome to Gateway City Church. My name is Jordan Canastracy. I'm honored to be the youth pastor here. Quick youth update for you guys. Junior High and Club 56, you're in the auditorium today. I want to say for anyone that might be new, this might be your first or even second time, thank you so much for checking Gateway out. We appreciate you coming.
And if you're looking for a place, yeah, come on, give it up for our newcomers. If you're looking for a community to belong to, this is a great community. And we would be happy to have you come back. We hope that you come back. If you are new, I want to direct your attention to the seat pocket in front of you. We have these cards here that say, I'm new here. We would love for you to fill this out and just let us know that you came so that we can connect with you, so that you don't slip under the radar. If you want to connect, we want to connect with you. Another thing that we love to do here at Gateway as a part of our worship is we love to give. So later on in the service, we're going to have an opportunity to give our tithes and our offerings. That's just for people that call Gateway home. We don't expect any giving of anybody new. But if you are new and you're going to fill out this card, later on in the service when we take the offering, that's your opportunity to slip this in to the offering bag as it passes you, and we'll get in touch with you. And I just want to say that I believe that God's going to move mightily today. I believe so much in that song. The same power that raised him up, that power wants to work and be alive in you today. So we're just going to jump back into worship, and I hope you guys are ready for the move of God.
Amen. Amen. We thank you so much, Jesus, that you're in this place. If you came today and you're not really sure who Jesus is, let me give you a glimpse into who he is. In Matthew 18, Jesus Christ himself said, "My love is like this. If I were a shepherd and I had 100 sheep, and 99 of those sheep were safe with me, but one of those sheep wandered away and was in danger, Jesus said, I would leave those 99 sheep and I would go after that one sheep who was lost, who was broken, who was afraid. So today you are that one sheep. You know who you are, and if you are away from God, I want to encourage you that this is your moment. Today, right now, you can come back into the love of God. You can come back into relationship with your Father. It's where we belong. So if you've never worshiped before, let's do it right now. We worship you, God. We thank you for your love. Let's thank him for his love. Thank you for your love, Lord. There's nothing more powerful than your love. Nothing greater. Singing over me, yours, no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Coming after, he's coming after you.
There's no wall you won't break down, lie you won't tear down, coming after
he's
me.
After you, he loves you.
Jesus, there is
our hands lifted up, we just honor you. We honor you for who you are and all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for dying on a cross for us. You're faithful. Thank you for forgiving us of all of our sins. Lord, you're faithful. Thank you for healing us every time we need it. Lord, you're faithful. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us or dooming us or forgetting us. Lord, you're faithful. We worship you. And Lord, thank you for being faithful to your promise. You said that you would die on the cross, but that you would rise again. You kept your promise, Lord. You've been faithful to us. We honor you. We love you, Lord. And this day, Lord, is for glorifying you, the faithful one. If you love the Lord, I want you to shout hallelujah like you really mean it. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. There is no one like you, Lord. No one like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated, but as you're seated, all these excellent people that have been on this platform have been here since early this morning. This is our third service today, and I would like you to thank them for all their hard work. Thank you, orchestra, choir. Now we've got probably 150 volunteers engaged today in the parking lots, in Children's Church, and I'm just so grateful for what God has done. This has been by far our greatest resurrection weekend, and I'm really glad to see that you are here, and it's a beautiful day. It's a day that children love. It's a day of chocolate and Peeps, right? And a day of good food. A day of family. Hopefully you can be around some friends and family today. But a day that all around the world, the central message of it is people gather in houses of worship all over our city and all over our state and all over our nation and in nations around the world singing like we've been singing. The central focus is the greatest event in human history commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So I'm just thrilled that you're all here, and I hope that today, as a result of our time together, that your life will be inspired and lifted and strengthened. And that if you have a hurt in your life, and I think I speak to everybody because everybody I know is hurting somewhere. I pray that if you have a hurt, you'll be healed. And I pray that if you have a guilt or a shame or a regret, God will remove that from you and you'll find brand new life in Jesus Christ. If you don't know me, my name is David Canastracy. I'm the lead pastor. I'm honored to have you guys, and this is a great day. I'd like to begin with a question here this morning, a question for each and every one of you, if you would permit me. The question is on the screen, and it says, can one day change a person's life? What do you think? Can one day change a person's life? I believe it can. I believe it did. And I believe there's so many examples of this. Of course, if you've ever stood at an altar and said, I do, you know that one day can change your life. If you've ever had a baby born into your family and witnessed that miracle, you know that that's a day that can change your life. If you've ever lost somebody that you love very, very much, you know that one day can change your life. And if you've ever gotten a letter from the IRS, you know that one day can change your life. But those aren't the days that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the day that changed everything. And for a title, let me give this message the title, The Day That Changed Everything. Today, I'm thinking specifically about how Resurrection Day changed everything. Let's consider it, first of all, from a bigger historical picture. How the world has changed because of the resurrection. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we know that he had somewhere in the neighborhood of about 120 followers at that time. 120 followers, about 2,000 years ago. Today, 2018, over 2.3 billion people around the world would say, I follow Jesus Christ. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. And I believe he's coming back. 2.3 billion people around the world believe that. And that's not counting the billions of people that have believed since the day that Jesus Christ died. 2.3 billion.
That's one out of every three people that's alive anywhere in the planet today would believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Now, what happened? How did we get from 120 to billions throughout history? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. There was a day that changed everything. And that was the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the resurrection literally changed everything. It's changed history. Actually, I don't know if you know this, but Christians are the largest group of people anywhere on the planet, the single largest identifiable group of people anywhere in the world. Our population is larger, for example, than the population of Europe by far. If you count up all the people in Europe, and then if you would add to all the people in Europe and then all the people in China, you still would not have the number of people that are Christian. If you took everybody in Europe, everybody in China, and everybody in the United States and Canada, you still wouldn't match the number of Christians that are alive on the planet. We are by far the largest group of people. What happened? 120 people. I'll tell you what happened. There was a day that came that everything changed. Resurrection has literally changed history. More books have been written about our faith than any other subject in the history of books. More music has been composed, and more buildings have been erected in honor of Jesus Christ and the Christian faith by far than any other single person in history. Because there was a day that came that changed history. Resurrection Day changed history. But Resurrection Day also has a profound impact on our story. It's not just history, but what about your story? What about my story on a personal level? Does it change us? It absolutely changes our personal lives. There's a verse in Peter's letter to the disciples of his day that still captures the incredible impact of the resurrection upon people's lives. And I want you to take a look at it with me. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Peter, of course, was there when Jesus was crucified. He was a follower of Jesus. He worked with him for 3 years and learned from him, and then he was a witness of the resurrection as well. And he said this about the resurrection: through Christ, you have come to trust in God. Now, that word for me is a very big word, trust. Everyone say trust. It's a word that is a little bit harder to come by these days because we've been so over-marketed, we've been so oversold, we've been so disappointed by religion and politics and the justice system. We've got so much disappointment that we really don't trust. But Peter says, you've come to trust in God. And you've placed your faith and hope in God. Why? Because of one thing. Because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. In other words, your faith is solid because you know that the resurrection is real. And that's why you've come to trust. That's why you've come to believe. And today, I believe God is calling us in the midst of brokenness and disappointment and all kinds of chaos in the world and in the news. I believe God is still calling us to trust, still calling us to believe, and still calling us to know and to believe that there is a future, that there is a hope for the world, that there's a hope for us individually. He said, you've come to a place of hope, which is the most important thing you can have in your life, hope. At a time when people are giving up on trusting and in hoping, God says, I'm calling you to hope that things can be different and things will be different and things will change. And it's because of the resurrection. The Message translation of this very verse says, it's because of the sacrificed Messiah, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead and glorified. It's because of him that you trust in God and that you, here's the hope piece, and that you know that you have a future in God. Everybody say, I have a future in God. I pray that today a sense of hope will rekindle in your heart, that there is something you can trust and something you can believe in. That sense of hope is so important to us. Resurrection Day releases hope, it releases faith, it releases trust, the ability for us to have a relationship with God and believe for a good tomorrow. It changes everything. Now, the day that changed everything is recorded in God's word, the Bible. So let's reconnect with that story. Everybody loves a good story. So let's go back and take a look at the story that was the pebble that created so many ripples that we are still feeling today. That one day that changed everything, as it is recorded by Matthew, who was a witness to these events. He said early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, and I just love that phrase because a new day dawned in my life, and I hope a new day is dawning for you. Early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. This is the tomb where they had laid the dead, crucified body of Christ. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. These burly Roman centurions shook with fear and fell, the scripture says, into a dead faint. What kind of a Sunday morning causes armed guards to pass out? Well, try one where there's an earthquake and a couple of angels whose clothes are on fire. They fell out. Talk about a day that changed everything. And the angel spoke to the women because they were the only ones still conscious. The angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Would you like to read the rest of this with me? Here we go. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. I've been to Israel 4 times, and I've been to the Garden Tomb. And there's a sign over the Garden Tomb, just as a reminder, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. It's wonderful to see an empty tomb. And this is the central fact of history that is recorded. Well, he isn't here. Come see where his body was, past tense, lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. Now, isn't it interesting? We as human beings, we're complicated people. We're complicated beings. We can be filled with fear and joy at the same time. You can have this strange mixture of emotions. And that's what these were. You can be in shock, you can be excited, and you can be freaked out all at the same time. Did you know that you can actually even have doubt and faith at the same time? There was one guy who was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm about to do a miracle in your life. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my, what? Unbelief. So living in him was this complex mixture. I've been filled with anger and relief at the same time. I've been filled with unforgiveness and hope at the same time. People are capable of complex emotions. And people always say, well, I'll give my life to Christ, but I just want to really believe. But you know, I don't know if there's ever a time where there isn't room for doubt. In fact, faith, the very existence of faith creates a doubt in a way, just like light creates a shadow. So don't be afraid to lean into the faith, lean into the feeling that is the most positive for you, the feeling of hope, the feeling of faith. These women were freaking out and excited and scared and joyful all at once. And you might be feeling all those emotions in the course of one day or 1 week, but God can change your life even when you're all jumbled up inside. So they were filled with joy, it says, And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. Whoa, now it's not a report. Now it's not a rumor that Jesus has risen. Now they bump into him. And I like that too, because it says, at some point, it's got to stop being a story and it's got to be an experience. It's got to be something that you and I really the encounter, the person of Jesus Christ. We're not here because It's a religious holiday. We're here because we've had an experience with Jesus Christ. He's become real to us. And he manifested himself to these women as the risen Christ alive. And for sure, they ran to him, grasped his feet, and fell down and worshiped him. I think I may have done the same. Resurrection Day. It's a day that changed everything. A day unlike any other. Angels, earthquakes, an empty tomb. It was miraculous. It was stunning. It was surprising. It was a jumble of emotions. The brain trying to catch up with the eyes. And yet, though it was a surprise, it had been predicted by Jesus. He had said, the Son of Man is going to be crucified, and he will rise the third day. He had clearly laid it out, and it all came back to him. And when it became real, it became real. And they understood, and they fell, and they heard his voice. And they shook, and they passed out. And they heard the sound of him walking, and they touched him. And they knew that he was alive. Resurrection Day changed everything. That's the story. So why does it matter? We're here in 2018, okay? It's Silicon Valley. We got bills to pay. There's bad things in the news. There's problems in the world, problems in our family. Pressures and so much uncertainty. What does this have to do with our lives? Well, the same Bible that explains what happened also explains why it's important. So I'd like to share with you just for a few minutes why the resurrection could be a day that would change everything in your life and why you should consider the resurrection as something relevant to your own life. First of all, the resurrection is important. That is, on Resurrection Day, freedom from guilt and shame became possible. Freedom from guilt and shame became possible for you and you and you. Does anybody here struggle with shame or guilt? Don't raise your hand. We heard a great story on Good Friday right here in this auditorium. Yedeni, one of our young adult leaders, was sharing how her own story of brokenness and abuse and shame and inferiority so plagued her until she met Christ, and how the day that happened changed everything for her. This is real, this freedom from guilt and shame, and it's because of what Romans 4 says, that Jesus died for our sins. So he said, why did he have to die? The Bible says he died for our sins. But he rose from the dead to make us, what? Right with God. Is that possible? Yes, it is. Despite our sins, despite our failures, even though God is perfect and holy, he would want something to do with us. He loves us. So he wants to relate to us, and because Jesus died for our sins, the sin problem is removed, the debt is canceled, and now we're free to connect with God. We can be right with God, accepted by God. That's called the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you can be forgiven of your sins. And it's possible because Jesus not only died on the cross, but rose from the dead. The truth is, the moment we trust in him, God forgives us instantly, completely, and continually. It is as though when Christ came out of the grave, we came out of our emotional grave, our spiritual grave, and we can be whole. Romans 3:22 says, we're made right with God at a point in time, which you need to understand. We are made right with God in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. So it's not about joining a religion. It's about opening your heart and trusting, leaning past the fear and the anger and the hurt and leaning into the trust part. I'm just saying, I've got all these emotions, but I'm going to lean toward trust. And when you do that, your sins are taken away. And it says this, I love it. We can all be saved in this same way. Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done in my life. I mean, I wouldn't be a very good Christian. The Bible says, and we can all be saved in this same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. How many think that's good news? That's awesome news. That's why they call it the good news, because of Christ. That's what I'm saying, because of Christ, we can be completely forgiven, and emotionally free. And that matters. That matters so much, to be able to live in freedom. And then on Resurrection Day, I think it's important for you to know that God's power for daily life became available. We're here in Silicon Valley, and we're carrying lots of units at school, and we're working lots of hours, 60, 70 hours at our job, and some of us working two jobs, three jobs, trying to make the rent. A brother's got to hustle for a buck. Can I have an amen, right? So we have to make it rain. And many of us are tired. We're struggling. And we're exhausted. But the Bible says that God gives power to those that are weak. And you want to talk about power? How about the power that raised Christ from the dead? If God has enough power to raise a dead body to life, He can handle pretty much anything that's going on in your life. He can help you through a 40, 50, 60-hour work week. He can help you. Listen to me, single moms and dads. Listen to me, parents of small children, sleep-deprived. There is power in God. There is strength to help you. Don't try to make life easier. That's a fool's errand. Work on receiving the strength that you need to rise above the challenges of life. And I'm here to tell you that God has enough power for you. I learned a long time ago that if I depend on finite things like myself, eventually it's going to collapse. You can't just keep putting weight and weight and weight and weight and weight on any finite object and just have it hold up forever. At some point, it's going to get to the point of collapsing. And so many people are collapsing in the world today. They're just done. They collapse morally. They collapse physically. They collapse emotionally because they're finite. Why are we so tired? What are we doing wrong? We're trying to do it in our own strength. We're finite, and we're trying to make it without infinite power. But the minute you build your life on something that is infinite, you can never outweigh the infinite. No matter what your problem is, no matter what your challenge is, the infinite power of God will always hold you up. And it will never fail you because God has more than enough power to get you through whatever you're going through. God gives power to the weak, the Bible says. And He is able to strengthen us. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you. Now, if that doesn't change your life, I don't know how to help you. But I'm here to tell you. If you will position yourself in faith, lean into the trust, then that power that raised Christ from the dead will belong to you, and it will course through your day and through your life. Ephesians 1, Paul said, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His power to help you is. Does anybody here need help? I pray that you will understand how incredibly great His power to help you is, and He will help you. His power to help those who believe Him, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Here's the last piece of this. Resurrection Day is important because it frees us from guilt and shame and because God's power becomes available for our daily lives. But here's the kicker. On Resurrection Day, the incredible promise of heaven, the incredible promise of heaven became credible. That'll change your life. The minute a promise becomes believable and credible, and that's exactly what happened on Resurrection Day. Let me ask you if you can believe this promise. This is the promise that Jesus made. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And here's the promise. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. What? Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Now that sounds too good to be true. It almost sounds like an April Fool. But I promise you, this promise was no April Fool. I got pranked here today between the first and the second service. Somebody walked up to me with a straight face, started telling me a story about his mom, and I said, oh my God, are you kidding? And then he burst out laughing. April Fools. I said, it's Resurrection Sunday. Why are you pranking me? But you know, Americans and people around the world have a long history of pranking each other on April 1st. In fact, I was reading just the other day about April Fool's Day, 1957. I got to share this with you. April Fool's Day, 1957. A famous April Fool's joke took place in Britain, Great Britain, when the BBC purportedly broadcast a series of films showing Swiss farmers picking freshly grown spaghetti from spaghetti plants. This really happened. They broadcast the whole thing all over Britain. And would you believe, for 3 days after those broadcasts, people were calling the BBC, where can I get a spaghetti plant? Can you tell me where to get a spaghetti? Because I love spaghetti and I want to grow some spaghetti. And they finally had to out themselves and say, guys, it's a joke. April Fools. But this promise that Jesus made was no joke. And I'll tell you why. Because the only person who ever was dead and became alive, the only person who ever overcame death, was the one making the promise. So when that person says to you, I am he who lives and was dead, I am the resurrection, and whoever lives and believes in me will not die, that's a promise you can take to the bank. You can trust it, you can lean on it, and you can know it. And I hate to remind you folks of this, because this is a day that we celebrate life, but what does life mean without death? And here's the truth. All of us are going to face death. That's going to happen. Now let me ask you, wouldn't you like to be standing right next to the one person in history who has overcome death? When your day to die comes, wouldn't you want to be in the company of the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life? He who believes in me shall never die. So the promise of heaven is no joke. And the resurrection matters to you because the promiser is able to give you eternity in heaven with God. What an incredible promise that becomes credible. And his only condition is that we simply lean into it and trust and believe. You see, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and he loves you, my friend. He really does. He cares about your life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever leans in and trusts him, that's the one that will not perish, but have everlasting life. So I ask you today, you might be afraid. You might be angry. You might feel disappointed, but there's a part of you that's believing. I ask you to lean in right there and just trust and experience everything that God has for you in Christ. If I had time, I'd give you 1,000 ways that the resurrection makes a difference. If you're sick, it's good to know that God has the power to heal. If you're poor, it's great to know that God can meet your needs. If you're longing for justice, if you just say, where's the justice? Where is the justice? It's good to know that there's a king who's unbeatable. Nobody beats Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you may not have justice in this moment, but the time is coming when he will rule and reign, and there will be justice, and justice will roll down like the river. So just sit tight. If it's hard right now, lean toward your faith and allow God to do a miracle. It could be that today would be a day that changes everything for you. The choir is coming to minister to you, and as they just take their place, let me just say a couple of things to you from a personal level. Some of you have questions about what you're hearing today. I feel you. Because it's not easy to wrap your mind around all of this. And you may say, Pastor, I'd love to believe in heaven. I'd love to believe in the Bible. I'd love to believe in a God of love who forgives me. But I just don't want to be tricked anymore. I don't want to be fooled. I'm tired of being hyped. I'm tired of being lied to. I'm tired of being disappointed. I get that. I understand that. But there's never, ever going to be a better day for you to trust and lean in. You say, well, I'll do it when my doubt is gone. But probably your doubts are always going to be there. So I just encourage you to just open your heart and begin to trust again. And this is my personal invitation to each and every one of you. Here at Gateway, we're starting a brand new series next Sunday that's designed specifically with questions in mind, doubts in mind. We're starting a series called Reasons for Hope. And we're going to take the next 6 Sundays, starting next Sunday, we're going to talk about how do we know that the resurrection actually happened? How do we know that the Bible is actually trustworthy? I mean, we say it's the Word of God, but how would we know that? We're going to answer some really tough questions. We're going to talk openly about God, and if God is love, why is there war, and why are people hurt, and why is there injustice? We're going to deal with so many issues to try to give you some reasons that you can rely on to go ahead and say, you know what, I can lean into this just a little bit more. I believe I can, because what happens is, once you believe that Jesus is risen and the Bible is true, it releases incredible hope for your life, because now you don't have to waste time with all the lies. You can just say, hey, the Bible says it, and I believe it, and now I have an answer for my marriage, and now I have an answer for my life, and I believe I have an answer for eternity, and hope starts to come into your life. And isn't that what you really need anyway? You need reasons for hope, and that's what we're going to get into. You can get our book. It's called Reasons for Hope, and join us in a study that I think will make a huge difference in your life. And then there'll be some of you here that you're going through dark times. You're not really thinking about the logic of the gospel or the philosophy of Christ. You're just hurting big time. And I would say to you, I feel you. I understand. I've been hurting too. But I'll tell you this, I've found in God tremendous love and comfort. And I would ask you to place your faith in Christ, who loves you, as your very best hope to be healed, to be forgiven, and to be whole. Because when you do that, today becomes a day that changes everything. I pray as the choir ministers to you that you'll be blessed. And I'll come back and I would like to pray for you before you go. Let's welcome the choir.
Thank you, choir. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Just bow your heads across the auditorium. I'm going to pray that your life will somehow change. I don't believe it's an accident you're here today. I believe God is pursuing you. He loves you. He's doing something in your life. And I know there's so many mixed emotions, fear, discouragement, skepticism, but there's also faith on the inside of you. It's real. And God wants to bring hope into your life. And He wants to change how things are. Father, I pray. I pray for people that are struggling, people that are weary, people that aren't sure why they're doing what they're doing, why they're working so hard or why they're trying, or those that are right on the edge of giving up, maybe some that have. I pray, Lord, for a rebirth of hope. On this one day, Lord, change everything as we place our hope in a risen Christ, as we understand that as dark as it can get, there's always a resurrection that is possible if we believe. Come, Holy Spirit, and heal people. Strengthen those that are weak, Lord. Lift people out of the pit of despair, and people that are bored, so bored, they are looking for something. Lord, I pray that you meet them and bring them into joy and excitement. Thank you for it, Lord. Your heads are bowed, please. Your eyes are closed. Before I close this service, I must say a word to those of you in this room that find yourself away from God. This is something that needs to change. It can change today. God loves you, and He forgives you. If you used to serve Him, I don't know, something happened. And somehow you found yourself, you're not serving God. You're not walking with Him any longer. I want to pray that something great will take place in your life, that you'll invite Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life again, that you'll come back into fellowship with Him, come back into relationship with Him, that you'll grow spiritually, become strong spiritually again. And there may be some people here that have, you've never given your life to Christ. You had no idea that you could be forgiven. You had really no idea why Jesus died on a cross and what it would mean for you. But today you understand. And you'd like to lean into that a little bit. You'd like to say, you know, I've got sins. I need forgiveness. I want to go to heaven. I want to be healed. So if that's you and you're somehow away from God, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you if I could pray a special prayer for you without embarrassing you. Just in this moment, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor David, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need to give my life to Christ. I'm away from God. Just lift your hand right where you are. Don't even be shy. Don't even be ashamed. Just lift it up right where you are. I need God. I'm away from God. I'm not serving Him any longer. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. Just lift it up where I can see it. I see your hand. I see your hand. I'm just going to take a minute. I see a third hand, a fourth hand, a fifth hand, a sixth hand. Just wherever you are, just lift it up. That's right, sir. Thank you in the back. 7, 8. Is there a ninth person here today to just say, if you're in the hallway, if you're in the cafe, if you're watching online, just say, that's me. I'm just believing that God is going to change these 10 or 12 lives. Father, I pray right now, today, be a day that changes everything. Overthrow the power of sin and shame in our lives, Lord. Forgive us and wash us clean. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, be our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, you will just touch these and all of us, Lord, right where we need it, in Jesus' name. And I praise you for it. Amen. Thank you for letting me pray for you. About 12 of you gave your lives to Christ just now. I think the rest of us ought to say, wow. And you know that feeling? That feeling like the sins of the world have just been lifted off of you? That's because
The sins of the world have just been lifted off of you. You've been forgiven and free. Congratulations. We want to help you. The ushers are going to come at this time. Ushers, go ahead and serve. We're going to close the service in just about 2-3 minutes time here. Choir's going to sing us happy as we leave. And I'm excited to invite you back next Sunday. This is our time to give, and thank you for standing with us in the mission of changing people's lives. That's what our church is really all about. And I'm going to ask you, if you did raise your hand here just a minute ago, or if you're one of those new folks in the church, you filled out your card, I'm new here, would you please drop that in as the offering comes? And we'll appreciate that so much. Just as the ushers serve you, the choir's going to rock us one more time. Thank you, Julie. And hang on for 1 second. I'll be right back, all right? I want to speak a blessing over you. Thank you again, guys. Thank you so much. It's been a very full morning, and it's been great to be together. What would you think about a church that takes 6 weeks to answer real questions? Would you like to be a part of that? I invite you back next Sunday for Reasons for Hope. We've got a special book, and bring somebody with you, because this is not a time where you're going to be pressured to believe. This is a chance where you're going to get a chance to say, here is something that I could choose to believe. I think it's going to be very effective and change your life. Would you all stand together? I'd like to just speak a blessing. It's been great to be together. Great to see friends, old and new. If you're new in the church, please come back. We love having you here. Thank you to friends and family. And now I would just like to ask you to lift your hands as I bless you. Father, I pray a blessing on your people. The very power that raised Christ from the dead will touch them from the inside out and make all things new. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. See you next week. Thank you, choir. Thank you, everybody.